wonderful grace of Jesus.
To the lowest hell, the guilty path. saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away,
to figure out the time and everything with the switching the time back and everything. It sure did get dark early tonight, that's for sure. But here we are, we're in church, this is where we belong. On a Sunday night, we as believers getting together, having good fellowship together. This is where we belong. And tonight, just so happens, I'm going to be teaching the third duty of believers. And of course, the first one was reading our Bible. The second one was praying. And tonight, it's assembly. Assembly. Do not forsake the assembly. And this is something we should do. And why should we do it? In each one of these, I first of all would tell you what Jesus did, and then what the early church did, and then what we should do. And all of it with scripture from the Word of God to back it up. First of all, Jesus and assembly. Now you say, well, Jesus wasn't even here when the church started. Still, the believers, the saints, always looked for every opportunity to assemble together that they could find and have good fellowship. First of all, I'd like you to look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus and assembling and getting together with other believers and going to church, we might say. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's look at that. Verse 16. And it says, boy, I can hardly see it too well up here. I'll have to go up and change that light tomorrow morning. Do we have any volunteers? Okay. I know Brother Dolly gets up there and does a pretty good job on that. So hopefully we can get that fixed pretty soon. All right, here we go. Luke 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This is referring to Jesus. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. What I want to emphasize there is his custom was that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In other words, he was taught that from a child, that he should go to the place where people gathered to talk about the Lord. Now, maybe it wasn't so good in the synagogues of his day that there were very many saints or believers, because they seemed to have really walked away from the truth and so forth. But Jesus went there as his custom was. That tells me that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the place where believers would assemble. And he would have fellowship there. Just as a side note, I sure would like to have been there that day in that synagogue. And actually, it's not going to be such a side note. I'm going to bring it right back around to us. Wouldn't it have been wonderful when it says he stood up for to read, for us to be there, for you to be there? And what happened? And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Amen. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon me." Oh, I would have loved to have been there just to hear Jesus read the scriptures, which talk about himself and about how he would be anointed to go and preach the gospel. I would just love to have been there. Well, you know what? If you were missing church that week, you would not have heard Jesus read the scriptures. And so I'll bring that right around to us today. If you miss church, you may be missing one of the best blessings that the church has ever had. And you miss out on it because you decided to do something else other than to go to church. And oh, all the excuses that people give for not going to church, it's just amazing to hear. Wow, some of them are very weak, quite frankly. But Jesus, as his custom was, went there. All right, down to verse 31. Verse 31 in Luke. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. There he is again on the Sabbath days, teaching people, being where the people are together. Verse 44, go down to 44. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So my Jesus went to the place of assembling of those who wanted to hear the things of the Lord. Now, Matthew chapter 18, we also find that his teaching concerning the assembling or the assembly of the believers in Matthew 18 and starting at verse 15, he gives instructions to the believers as how they should act. Moreover, I'm in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, I'm in Matthew 18:15. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And of course, the Greek word for that is ekklesia. You would tell it unto the church. And sometimes you have to do that in order to get brothers and sisters together as they ought to be. Instead of split up and having or saying things about one another and causing trouble. Well, you go to them. If they will hear you, amen. If they don't hear you, take one or two others. And then verse 17, if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto thee, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And here is the next verse is going to give you how many people do you need to have a church? Here you go. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we're going to see in the next reference I give you that Jesus enjoys being in the midst of believers who are gathered together in his name. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And starting at verse 10 here. In verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, I'm not going to read this whole thing here, but I want to read now down to chapter 2 and verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. You know what that tells me? That my Savior walks in the midst of the church. Any church that gathers together, our Lord and Savior is in our midst. Folks, isn't it something? Just think about this. We are gathered together because we want to assemble together with other believers, and we want to sing together, and then we want to hear the Word of God opened up and preached, and we want to talk about our Savior, Jesus Christ. I thought that was a very interesting thing that tonight we sang 666. My Jesus, I love thee. What a good song to be numbered with 666, right? My Jesus, I love thee. The Antichrist can go the way he's going to go. He's going to end up in the lake of fire. But my Jesus, I love thee. And by the way, it says that the words, I believe, were done by A.J. Gordon. Chris Dolly, did you notice that? 666 song, A.J. Gordon. Yeah, isn't that, is that the same man who wrote the, you know, the books that we read and things? Yeah, it's Adoniram J. Gordon, it says. And then the person who wrote it, or who did the, I guess it might be A.J. Gordon did the music, and the other person, what side does the music, the right side? All right. Left is lyrics, right is music. All right. Well, then, wow. A.J. Gordon was a musician then, or very interested in music. That's something. He was A.J. Gordon was a great preacher, okay? A great preacher, and time's gone back. But amen that the song is all about Jesus in number 666, because he's in our midst. As we are here tonight, he's in our midst. I'll tell you something else. Angels are watching as well. There are scriptures that say that the women need to be careful that they are covered and that they have a good covering. And I believe that has reference to their hair. And if you happen to be bald or short-haired, then it might be a good idea to have some covering on when you come into the assembly of the believers. Why? Because the angels are looking down upon our meeting here tonight. Isn't that something to think about? Wow, I wonder where they're at and where they might be sitting. What's their perspective as they look upon what we're doing here tonight? And might they be a little embarrassed that I'm even talking about them tonight? Oh, they're probably going, oh, he's talking about us. And cover their heads with their wings, you know. And oh, listen to that preacher there. He's preaching about Jesus Christ and how wonderful he is. And they're singing that song, My Jesus, I love thee. Oh, Jesus is in our midst. Now, I know there are other Christian churches meeting at the same time all over the world, but my Savior is with us here tonight. And it's not just because he's scheduled to be here tonight. Next week he's scheduled to be somewhere else. He's everywhere present, folks. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all wisdom, all-knowing. And he's everywhere present. Here he is. So when you miss church, You miss seeing and being with Jesus. Not seeing, but being with Jesus. You got to think about it that way, because that's the way it is, according to the Bible. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Now let's look at the early church. Do we get any example from the early church when Jesus ascended back to heaven and the disciples were told to go on now, go back to Jerusalem and wait there for the Holy Spirit to come upon you and then start preaching the gospel. Excuse me. Acts 2, verse 42, it says this about the early believers. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Right from the start, they gathered together, and it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I'm going to tell you something. That isn't accomplished by going to church one time every month, okay? That can't be accomplished, continued steadfastly. I doubt it can be accomplished by going only two times a month. I'm telling you something. It's accomplished by going every time the believers are meeting. You ought to be there. The early church was like that. And then chapter 4 and verse 31. Chapter 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. What you see here is their togetherness. They wanted to do everything together. And they didn't think of each other as, well, that's mine, and you can't touch it. No, in the early church, they thought, look, if this can help you out, what I have, you can have it. And they all took care of each other. There was a great togetherness in the early church there in Jerusalem. And now go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Oh, how familiar this is. We often make this one of the verses that we memorize by heart. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, we find out that even in the early church, folks, they had a problem. They had a problem even in the early church, like we do here in the church of today, I guess you could say. A problem, and you know what it was? Well, let's read it. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. This is the third duty that I believe believers should have. Reading the Bible, praying, and then getting together. And it's obvious here that some believers felt it was not necessary to go to church as often as they should. And you know what? That problem is still with us today. And oh, how I would love to see the people of God meeting whenever the church doors are open. What a testimony it is to a community that's on the outside of our church and to people that you know and relatives and everything when you go to church as often as you can. I can remember when my wife's parents got saved. My parents led her parents to the Lord. They were going door to door and they visited with my wife's parents. And they came back another day because my father-in-law had a favorite program on TV and he wanted to see it, but he was willing to have them come back some other time. And it was the program was The Outer Limits, okay? And they invited my parents back, and oh boy, they got The Outer Limits then, you know, all the way to heaven. And they received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior that night, and That was, I believe, a Monday night. You know where they were on Wednesday night? In church. And Sunday, in church. Sunday night, in church. Wednesday night, in church. Sunday morning, in church. Sunday night, in church. And that's the way it's been with my in-laws ever since they got saved. And they got saved when I was a young boy. And I watched that. I saw it. It impressed me. It influenced me, for sure, that going to church is a very important thing. And later on, I married their daughter. And you know what we've done? We've done the same thing. And by God's grace, you know what my children are doing? They're doing the same thing. And by God's grace, our 6 grandchildren, they're being taught to do the same thing. Lydia down there she sits. Oh, what now? 2-3 weeks? Four weeks old. There she is. She does have her eyes open and she's listening to Papa. She wants to get the Word of God in her right now. Oh, and that's how you do it, folks. You've got to do it that way and be faithful. Hebrews 10:25 says, absenteeism was a problem even back in the early church. Now, how did they meet and where the early church? Go with me to the book of Acts, and we're just going to go there and go through a few verses in the book of Acts. Take yourself to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Chapter 12 and verse 12. I'm just going to read some verses and I want you to tell me how and where did they meet. You tell me. All right. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. All right. 16 verse 15. Acts 16 and verse 15. 16 and verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. All right, down to verse 40. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. Oh, there she is, my Lydia. All right, entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Chapter 18, 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Chapter 20, verse 20. 20, verse 20. And how I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. 28 and verse 30. 28 and verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Now go to Romans chapter 16, verse 5. Romans 16, verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. All right, I'm going to stop there. Where did the early church meet? In houses. In houses. They didn't have a nice facility like we have today. They would meet in their homes. And you know what, folks? It may come to that. It really may come to that. That we may have to meet in homes. And don't be afraid of that. The early believers did the same thing. I have other verses for this. I'll just give them to you if you're writing things down. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. Colossians chapter 4, verse 15. And Philemon, verse 2. And it talks about the believers meeting in houses. All right, now what about you? All right, we saw what Jesus did. We saw what the early church did. What should you do? Go to Psalm 84, verse 4. Psalm 84 and verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Oh, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, that's Old Testament. They didn't have New Testament church. They didn't meet in a building like this. They had the temple. Earlier, they had the tabernacle. And the writer of the Psalms here says, oh, I would rather be a doorkeeper. That's like a lowly place, all right, that you take, open and shut the door. Hello, good to see you. Like the Walmart people, you know. Hello, how you doing? And the doorkeeper of the church. I'd rather be a doorkeeper of the church than to be dwelling in the tents of wickedness. And you know, while we're meeting here right now, it's wickedness is going on in places all over the world. And our God has to look down upon that. And I believe it won't be soon before he says to his son, go get your bride. Go get the bride. And then we're going to start taking care of the wickedness. And in 7 years, you'll be returning back to fight the battle of Armageddon and to set up your kingdom. That day is coming, folks. How about Psalm 122? Psalm 122 and verse 1. Psalm 122 now. Psalm 122. Let's all read it together, all right? Out loud together. Let's start reading it right now. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know what? Meeting together is biblical. I don't think I need to really go through too many verses to prove to you that you ought to be assembling together with other believers. And when you get together, you know what they did? Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to hurry up and close this up. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. There's a few verses here. I want to read them to you. 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So what should we do when we get together? Yeah, okay, what are you going to do at church? Well, we're going to get there, and we're going to say hello to each other, and then we're going to sit down and get our hymnals out, and we're going to sing some songs, and we're just going to praise the Lord together. And I don't ever want us to lose sight of having a good song service and singing and having a good time of fellowship singing. And then after that, we give thanks always for all things unto God. And then other verses would tell us the preacher needs to preach the word of God. We go and we hear the word of God preached, and we learn about our Savior and all the good things that he has done for us. And then on our way out, we might put some money in the offering box so that we can continue the work of the Lord. And those in the church who may have need, we do a deacon's fund, something like that. And, you know, or in the early church, in a similar manner, they did the same thing. They did not think that anything they owned just belonged to them. No, they would give it to the others who had need. And we should do the same thing. And then on the way out, you know what we should say to each other? We should say, Maranatha. Maranatha. You know what Maranatha means? Anybody know? What does it mean?
The Lord is coming.
You know, keep your eyes on the fact that he could come at any moment. And we ought to live in light of the fact that Jesus can come at any time. So go to church. Go to church as often as you can. May it be a real good excuse you have for missing going to church. And, you know, churches have been doing this for a long time, meeting Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I know Wednesday night might be a tough one, but you know what? Try your best. I know you may not be able to come all the time, but how about sometime? On Wednesday night, what goes through your mind at around 7 o'clock? You know what it ought to be? That goes through your mind, oh, the believers are meeting right now and I'm not there. Oh, the believers are meeting and I'm late. I'm going to get there as soon as I can. And get there and have fellowship and pray together, sing songs together, hear the preaching of the Word of God. In all the services, it should be that way. You know, that's how a church does grow, actually. Is when those who are going to that church are faithful in attending that church. That's what makes a church grow. I've watched it over the 40 years. And I've seen times when Wednesday night the place was filled. I've seen times on Wednesday night when there's hardly anybody there at all. And you could count them all on your two hands, with the fingers on your two hands. Oh, I encourage you, go to church. May it be a real good reason that you have for not being there. All right. Well, I hope that helps you. That's our duties that we have as believers waiting for the Lord to come back. Read the Bible, study your Bible, pray, go to church. We have one more, and we'll do that next Sunday. And that is witnessing. Witnessing. Telling others what we already know about our Savior. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the time of fellowship here at church. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. And may you be pleased with our attendance here in church tonight. And help all of us to realize the importance of being in the fellowship with the saints whenever they meet. And we should try to do it whenever we can. Oh, Lord, speak to our heart about these things. And may this church become known as a place where the people go and they attend and they love the Word of God and they love the singing. And may there be no doubt in people's minds what's going on at Race Street Baptist Church. So bless our church and use it in a wonderful way in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name we pray.